Welcome to Season 5 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. The Bible has a lot to say about thinking. Thoughts are spiritual events, and they set the direction and determine the destiny of your life. So put on your thinking cap, because this season of the Food for Your Soul podcast is all about thinking, logic, discernment, and being transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Discernment is not mysticism, it's not magisterial approach, and it's not postmodernism. Mysticism is the error of looking within. The magisterial approach is the error of looking outward to tradition. Postmodernism is the error of not looking at all. Just picking something and believing it, you know. And those are the three errors. The causes of those errors are laziness, and in the case of postmodernism, ultra-laziness. They're all the same thing. And so that's what discernment is not. Now let's look back at it, Hebrews chapter 5, and see where it is. The crux of the issue in this passage is the very last line in chapter 5 of Hebrews, where it says that the mature are those who have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. That's maturity. Verse 14 could literally be translated this way. Having trained the faculties of perception to a high level of skill with the result of being able to distinguish between good and evil. Having trained the faculties of perception to a high level of skill. And the result of that is the ability to distinguish between good and evil. Now, let's look at each part. Having trained is a term that's an athletic term. The real strong athletic term means to get into the gym. It has the idea of being in a gym and an intense workout. So it's really an unusual phrase. You go to the gym and you work out hard training your ears and your eyes and your taste buds and your nose and your sense of touch. A mixed metaphor. And it's kind of an unusual figure of speech. But the idea is you go into the gym, just work out your senses until you have this high skill level of perception, of perceiving the world around you. What is the point of this figure of speech that mixes these two figures and talks about your senses? What are your spiritual senses? And how do you train them by constant use, by practice? How do you train, how do you gain a high level of skill at perceiving? We know what the result is. The result is that if you do that, then you'll be able to distinguish between good and evil, and that's discernment. But what's the process to get there? What are your spiritual senses of perception? There's five physical senses. How many spiritual senses are there, and what are they? And how do you go about training them? The answer to the question, I think, is that your senses, what is the duty of a sense? One of your five senses, what is its duty? How do you summarize its duty? And I think the way you summarize the duty of your senses is, your senses have the duty of making distinctions. And the more ability they have to make distinctions, the more acute they are. For instance, vision. If you have normal vision, then you can look at an eye chart from a certain distance, and you can distinguish clearly between the black portions and the white portions, right? You can see exactly where the black ends and where the white starts. And as a result, you can make out the shape of the letter. People with better than average vision can do that at a greater distance. If you have poor vision, the black and the white run together into a blur, and there's no distinct line that separates one from the other. Now, just ask yourself, which is better? We live in a society where everything was supposed to be shades of gray. They think it's simplistic to try and say there's black and white. It's overly simplistic to try and say there's right and wrong. Everything's shades of gray. And that's supposed to be sophisticated. That's not sophisticated. It's just lazy. And it's poor vision. If you have, ask yourself, what's better? What's better, blurry vision or sharp vision? There's not very many things everybody in the world would agree on, but I think that's probably one. Everybody in the world would probably agree that sharp vision is better than blurry vision. They would rather have sharp vision. When you see clearly, that means you have better vision. Red things are red, blue things are blue. If everything's a shade of gray to you, then that just means you have poor vision. You're colorblind. You're not able to distinguish. If you can't distinguish green from red, that's a defect in your eyes. It's something that's wrong. Now, people realize that with color, but in the world of ideas, people want everything to blur together without any distinctions and shades of gray. And they think of that as being open-minded, but it's just laziness. And it's through seeing distinctions that you can interpret the shape of the letter or the thing that you're looking at and know what it is and interpret it properly. Same thing with hearing. If you have good hearing, then you're aware of the fact that there was some faint noise. And you can distinguish between silence and sound. You can make that distinction. Everyone except for deaf people can distinguish between silence and a loud blast. People who can distinguish between silence and a normal voice, you know, normal people can do that. Most people can do that. People with excellent hearing can distinguish between silence and a very faint sound. The more distinctions you can make with your ears in sound, the better hearing you have. And not only that, but good hearing also involves the ability to not only distinguish and hear, but to interpret what you hear by making fine distinctions. When your hearing starts to go, you can still tell that there's sound. But if somebody's just mumbling, or if there's several people talking, you can't make the fine distinctions necessary to interpret what's being said. You know there's sound, but it's just random noise, and it's just a jumble. Rush Limbaugh, I don't know if you heard about the news about Rush Limbaugh, he's going deaf. And I listened to the radio, I listened to him talk about his deafness. And he's almost completely deaf, except in one ear he still has hearing, and he can put a hearing aid in there and turn it way up and he can hear sound. And he said, it's interesting what he said. He said, the problem isn't volume. The problem is what the doctors call discrimination. Interesting term that they use. The ability to distinguish one sound from another and to understand the significance between the difference so that you can make out what's being said and the meaning. If you can hear sound, but you can't tell the difference between ah and o, or s and t or something, then when you hear someone talking, you'll know they're talking, but you have no ability to understand what they're saying, what the meaning is. So that's the same with all five of your senses. Your senses' job is to make distinctions, and the more distinctions they make, the better they are. That's the purpose of your senses. And having acute sensory ability means being able to make distinctions between things that only have subtle differences and to interpret those differences. Now, what's the spiritual application? Your spiritual senses are your ability to make distinctions in spiritual areas between ideas and truth claims that have slight differences and distinguish between the good and the bad. Spiritual immaturity and lack of discernment are the same thing. Intellectually, the inability to discern is what makes babies babies, right? Intellectually speaking. They can't discern anything. That's what makes them babies. They crawl on the floor, and they see some lint, and they see a thumbtack, and they maybe see some shrimp scampi. And they just soon put this thumbtack in their mouth, and the shrimp scampi. They don't know anything. They don't know what's better, what's good, what's bad. That's the way spiritually immature people are. They'll just take in anything. They'll listen to anything. They'll read anything. They can't discern. Everything's great. This is what amazes me. People who are spiritually mature, they'll listen to some great preacher, and I'll say, hey, listen to this sermon, it's great. And they'll listen. They'll say, oh, yeah, that's great. And then they listen to some total heretic, and they love that. They say, oh, that's great, too. And they just, you know, they can't distinguish anything. So, that's what your spiritual senses are, your ability to distinguish and make distinctions. Now, how do you train that? What is the training? Well, there's a number of things you could do. Engaging in dialogue, engaging in debate, engaging in discussions about spiritual things, listening to smart people talk about spiritual things, reading people's ideas, listening to people's ideas, evaluating those ideas, reading and listening to smart people's evaluation of ideas. It's a great way to learn that. People who are discerning, find someone who's discerning, listen to their evaluation of somebody else's idea and try to learn from that. One of the great ways to do this is to read a letter to the editor in the paper that you agree with and find the errors in the reasoning. That's a great exercise to do. Find a letter to the editor that you agree with and find the errors in the logic. Excellent task that will help you in the fine art of distinguishing. And then read a letter that you disagree with and say, what's correct in this? What's strong in his argument? What strengths are in his argument? Or write a position paper defending your view on something. And then read your own paper and look for weaknesses in your argument. These are the ways that you train yourself to make distinctions. And that's discrimination. That is spiritual maturity. And, you know, I keep using the word discrimination. You know, it used to be a compliment to say to somebody that they are discriminating. Oh, so-and-so, he's a very discriminating guy. That used to be a compliment. Now it's a dirty word. I mean, now it's the worst thing you can say. And the reason it's such a bad thing is because people associate it with prejudice and bigotry, right? I mean, they associate it with racism and all that. Discrimination. But the problem with the bigots is not that they're too discriminating. The problem is that they're not discriminating properly. That is, they have poor discrimination abilities. The bigots are bad because they're bad at discriminating. That is, they can't make proper distinctions. It's not wrong to look at two human beings and to draw distinctions between the two. The person who's skilled in making distinctions, the truly discriminating person, will know how to make relevant distinctions as opposed to irrelevant ones. The bigot, the racist, makes irrelevant distinctions because he's not good at discriminating. For example, if Osama bin Laden is standing there next to Billy Graham, the discerning person will draw relevant distinctions. And the bigot will also draw distinctions, but since he doesn't have any skill at that, he'll draw irrelevant distinctions. The discriminating person will say, he believes in spreading his religion through violence and murder. He believes in spreading his religion through preaching. That's a valid distinction. The person with poor discrimination will say, he wears a turban and a long beard, and he dresses in a suit, as if that were the relevant factor. So the problem with racists and so on isn't discrimination, but poor discrimination. Failure to properly discriminate. Now, bigotry is just a revelation of stupidity. It reveals a person's not only stupidity, but sinfulness, because it's an ugly sin, and it's our society has been right. Our society is correct in rejecting it. But they have a wrong reason to reject it. They're rejecting it because they think, well, the error is that the person is discriminating, drawing distinctions. So the world, in their blindness, senses there's something wrong with bigotry. They sense that there's something wrong with racism, but they point the finger of blame at the wrong thing. They say, oh, the problem is making distinctions. That's not the problem. The problem is making improper distinctions. Just like in the church, the problem isn't too much judging. The problem is improper judging. Judging on irrelevant factors, external factors. And so then they're left, when they say, well, the problem must be making distinctions, then their conclusion is, well, I guess we should never make distinctions, and then they're left with postmodernism. That's how they got there. Which says there are no distinctions that are valid. Everything is equally good. All religions teach the same thing, and there's nothing's better than anything else. And it's interesting to watch them who have for years been saying that and are now confronted with an evil. Every once in a while there's an evil so obvious that even the postmodernists have to accept it as an evil. And that's kind of fun. You know, it's always been Hitler. You've always had to use Hitler in the past. You know, they say everything's equally good. What about Hitler? Well, he was bad. You know, and now we get Osama bin Laden, these guys flying a plane into the World Trade Centers. And usually even the postmodernists will say, yeah, that's objectively evil. That's just, and it's fun to watch because everybody's sort of rallying around George Bush, who's on TV saying, President Bush is on TV saying, they're evil. And we're going to fight against evildoers because they're evil and we're good. And it just keeps drawing the distinction between good and evil, which our society really is reacting against, but now they have a tough time saying much about it because it's so obvious.
Thank you for listening. We pray you're finding this season helpful. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. Just go to the treasuringgod.com website and click on Contact. There's also a giving tab on that site. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.